Australian story, Blake's. And we were up at, 2 a.m. last night. Craig is with me in the audience, fact-checking and finally seeing what was happening. It's going to be on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald. It's a guy who hid behind charities trying to help AIDS to conceal millions of dollars of offshore tax funds. Just one of many, many facets that are being uncovered by this investigation. I think, you may judge, that the story of handling this has laid many ground marks, many benchmarks, many novel techniques, new software methods that will mark a change stage in the whole of data journalism. Certainly, as David has indicated, this is the most complex set of unstructured data that anyone has ever taken on. And even now, I don't think any of us will be confident that all of the methods, all of the tools, or all of the things that are in this data set have been uncovered. Formally, at the time I came in, we were a very small group, very secretive, very uncertain as to how to handle the data. A small core group just had their own personal disks and were using high-end free text search systems, one in particular that was gifted us on license, called Nuix. And it was becoming ever obvious as David streaked ahead with the help of James Ball, who is his data geek, and David had done the whole of the previous project magnificently, the WikiLeaks presentation selection, understanding the issues. How do you upscale? How do you get there? And we've gone there in three or four stages, which are represented in different ways, been signally assisted by several of the people who are in the audience who made important contributions. For example, Sebastian cracked a whole collection of emails in a very archaic format. And I can, Sebastian, are you here? Yeah. Sebastian and I worked for weeks while he dug through incredibly arcane versions of old software to get an exact match to the type of files that I'd found embedded. It's something like 25 layers deep in a zip file within a compressed file. We thought we'd got something, and eventually it was put together. There are other artifacts in the data that we've never cracked, despite the best efforts. It's a bit of a porridge. And into that porridge, in the first phase, came swimming David and got a fantastic amount out of it. But as the things were looked at, we had mixtures of structured and unstructured data. And the structured data was at least a key, which was not being properly addressed in the first phase. We had big databases in SQL and Access, but they weren't running. So those had to be rebuilt. And again, that was mostly done by Sebastian with a tiny little bit from myself, I think. We then had to distribute these. And so phase one was like going around the world with extra disks. So we were in Bucharest to give Russians disks and ensure that they were carrying them in secured containers. And over in Washington, putting in new and fast processes so that a range of people could come to Washington to view the data and see what was there for their countries. Now, the world has a lot of countries, and it's only in the last 6 or 7 weeks that we really actually addressed, just shortly before publication, how many of the world's countries were actually in our data set. We come up with the answer of 170 by a combination of a manual method and a computer method. But we're still working and finally tweaking a country analysis that goes into the data, which is very badly entered, often mistyped, words in the wrong area, countries and addresses in the wrong fields. It's not of the quality of what US State Department people put in, and therefore it's difficult to do. And one of the programmers who's here, Matt Fowler, is working on that too, and with other programmers doing sophisticated data mining even now. So what we also learned was the enormous burden that journalists have to learn to get to use data, particularly data that isn't easy. And that's something that Mark particularly had to address with a range of tools and methods that we worked on. It's not easy data. We now have the situation where we have a big online search system with variable numbers of people on it. It's been as high as 50 or 60. And we can see how they're searching, partly as a security check, but partly also, have you used this as an educational tool? To monitor the logs and see how do you go through it. You can see how people use the data. You can see people coming in and saying, where's my prime minister? Where's my favorite villains? Where's my businessman? And it doesn't work, almost always. One or two countries it did. But the rest of the time, it's actually a more intuitive, much more long-term layered journalistic loop that's needed to pull out the best things from that data. When we realized that there were that many countries in the data, everybody goes, well, apeshit. How the hell do you get people to work in that? We don't know these countries. We still don't know many of them. We don't know what's relevant. We don't know the benchmarks. You don't know that if you go to somebody in Tanzania, they're not going to say, my God, that's the disgraced former finance minister, and what have you got? And then when you find leads like that, sometimes there's actually nothing there because it's a very mixed bag of data. So you weren't going to get this problem upscaled from 10, a dozen countries by manual disk delivery or series of visits to Washington. So the next idea was to have one or more people very skilled in the data and with the sophisticated tools stand between the center and individual journalists who are coming on board, regional processors. And this was then led to my first acquaintance with Ma, who came to join me in Brighton and England, get everything installed, up and running, and then go out to help many dozens of people who were seeking data on their particular countries. That happened very late on, about a month after David had run the first story. So you can see how out of step we were. The fast data journalists experienced in this with the data tools already under their belt were there in 6 months, published in a year. Meanwhile, the entire rest of the world was frankly struggling to catch up, with deadlines slipping back and back and back and back. By December, Marl and others' efforts were overwhelmed by the amount of data that was to be shipped out. And we had to think again. And this required a quite strange review, because at the beginning, as everyone is, oh my God, we're so at risk, looking over your shoulder, a terrific amount of security. Now, I have to say, I took a lot of that apart, because in this particular project, we needed to get our security model sorted out, and we weren't an enemy to the nation states, the big Western nation states. We suspected for various reasons that they already had most of the data, they just hadn't bothered to act on it. So we didn't need very fancy, high-end, geeky stuff. It got in the way, and stuff had to be done simpler, quicker, and got out to people who made stories. And gradually those barriers came down. With Sebastian's help, put in secure messaging so that people could communicate in a way that they felt safe. And at the end, that has been vindicated. We got to the end of the project in its first phase. We came into the danger area where we exposed ourselves to the bad people when we were saying we need your comments. We waited for the attacks, but beyond the routine thousands of knocks on the doors of any internet site, we haven't seen anything. And even now, we're only getting the slightest glimmers of something that might be people trying to use cyber attacks to get information about the project. In upscaling to the next stage, we had to get the finder facilities that David had used at the beginning and people in the hubs, free text search tools, and access to the databases online made available generally. And the only way to go was online. So in December, just the weeks before Christmas, in an extraordinary haste, and again with the assistance of somebody else who's in the audience here, Matthew Fowler, who'll be talking tomorrow along with Sebastian, and showing and telling as much as we can the details of how things were done, we built an online, interactive, secure search system in which you could do free text searching across the entire document database and a sensible version of the databases themselves pull down the results and analyze it. And it's that particular innovation which a lot of anxiety about, but which allowed the information to go out and to be used. And we are now, programmers, working on probably the best ever of the tools. There's a great deal of sensitivity now about how much I say about that, which is partly why the second session today has been put over tomorrow for a little bit of a talk. But what we've learned from this thing is that we did everything backwards. The best tool which could have fired up all the things, which was a result of careful analysis and understanding the data, and which may drive yet the best information to be coming out, is coming last. The thing that should have been done second, which was the massive amount of training of people in data journalism techniques and so on, was done second to last, but have been, in my opinion, should have been done second. So it has been a huge exercise, one in which as much should be learned, in my view, from the mistakes, as well as the successes. It will roll on. It will bring down, I think, a lot of the bad guys. I think one of the things we've learned is that obsessive secrecy and security, which we attack in this project, has in fact been, to some degree, the enemy of getting effective journalism done. And that's always something we have to struggle with in these kind of groups and gardens, where there is a huge drive into technically complex ways of communicating, shall we say, with whistleblowers. But if we've learned one other thing, it is the huge importance, because this will soon be eclipsed. We don't know what the next big story is, but you can be damn sure it'll be 10 times bigger than the terabyte scale. It'll affect something of major public interest, and there'll be a new set of learnings to be done, a new set of mistakes to be made, and a new set of revelations going on right around the world. So it's been a steep learning curve, an effective and interesting one, and inshallah we address it now in three ways in this overview session, which finishes up with Mar saying how it's already changed the world and what the future is, but also tomorrow with a more detailed look at the tools, and then a more hands-on and discussion version with the coders looking at specific ways of data mining and other of the things that have been done. That should be hopefully on the program for tomorrow. And over now to Mar for the conclusion.